be in the house of the Lord. See everybody who can make it this morning. Let's stand and sing that song. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. King of endless words, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, oh, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart, and I'm coming back to the heart of a worship, and it's all about. It's all about you, Jesus. And I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Second verse again, King of Endless Word.
King of Endless Word, no one could how much you deserve.
Yes, Lord.
Though I'm weak and poor, Lord, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song, for a song is not what you
are standing on holy ground. I'm going to believe that this morning. Amen.
We are standing on the holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. They're all around. So let us pray. Dear Lord,
cross on them, amen. Amen. We don't have any special announcements, just a reminder that next Sunday will be a carry-in and to get with Sister Jody as far as a setup there, amen. We do have one prayer request that was handed to us today from our Sister Beth. Sister Karen asked us to keep her in prayer. Her sciatic nerve has been causing her a lot of pain, and she also lost her keys. She would like prayer for her for strength and that the Lord would show her where her keys are. Amen. How many believe God is able? Amen. How many have unspoken prayer requests like to make known by not understanding? I'm asking Brother Simon, if you mind, lead us a word of prayer, also with tithes and offerings.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, we're just, Lord, humbled again, once again, Lord, by God, Lord, knowing you allowed us, Lord, to live another day, God, Lord, that we can come to your house, Lord, and to worship you, Lord God, and Lord, we want to live the best we can for you, God, and worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, God, Lord Jesus, God, Lord, for with one or the other, God, Lord, it wouldn't be complete, God, Lord, so Lord, give us both spirit and truth, God, Lord, and Lord God, just be with Sister Karen, God, Lord, as she searches for her keys, God, Lord, and Lord, that warrior down there, God, Lord, and just got done losing a husband, God, and now, Lord, trying to take care of her dying mother, God, Lord, just bless her, God, Lord, and camp her, God, with the spirits, Lord, of your angels, God, Lord, that Lord would just minister, Lord, strength to her, God, Lord, be with her, God, Lord, and Lord, may she not feel so alone, God, Lord, or tired, Lord, and Lord, like she's on the front lines, God, Lord, but Lord, send her help from above, God, Lord, and Lord Jesus, Lord, help us, Lord, also, God, Lord, to press through this morning, God, Lord, to lift that name of Jesus, Lord, high, God, Lord, to sing the praises of Zion, God, Lord, and to sing our praise and just shout our hallelujahs, God, Lord, as best we can, God, Lord, we love you, Lord, let us get into the Spirit, God, focus our minds, Lord, on you, Lord, not the cares of this world, God, or, Lord, evil thoughts, God, or something that may have hindered us, Lord, the day before, or, Lord, this morning, God, Lord, but, Lord, help us, Lord, to have Lord, just understand, Lord, that we're here to reverence you, God, Lord, and Lord, to lift, that you would be the apple of our eye, God, Lord, the love of our hearts, God, Lord, Lord, may you be number one, God, this morning, in each one of our hearts, God, we love you, Lord, bless the tithes and offerings, Lord, and just have your perfect will, Lord, this morning, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Sing a song, work together again, just praising the Lord, amen. We're together again, just praising the Lord. We're together again, we're in one accord. Something good is going to happen, something good is in store. We're together again, just praising the Lord. Just praising the Lord. We're together again. We're in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Just praising. Why don't you greet your neighbor? Tell them something good's gonna happen. Again, just praising the Lord. We're together again. We're in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store. We're together again. Just praising the Lord.
time with death again. Just praise in the Lord with death again. We're in one accord. Something good is going to happen. Something good is in store with death again. Praise the Lord, amen.
Sing that song, I've Got a Feeling. Sing that song, I've Got a Feeling, everything's going to be all right, amen.
Oh, I've got a feeling everything is going to be all right. Oh. Y'all.
Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Almighty God is on our side. We will not believe Satan's lies. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army rising up. 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 Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. I hear those chains falling. I hear those chains falling. So break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. So break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Pastor Cam comes and sing a song, Welcome Holy Spirit, amen.
Welcome Holy Spirit, we are in your presence, come fill us with your power, and live.
God bless. Good to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. Praise God. You love the Lord? He's a great God. Amen. You may be seated just for a moment here. Had a pretty good meeting the other night by the grace of God. Working on the outreach there. If anyone has questions about that who wasn't here, would like to participate, then we're here. Amen. So by the grace of God, just wanted to bring that forward and also say it sure is good to be a Christian today. Amen. We're lucky people. I wouldn't say lucky, we're chosen people. Amen. I'm going to sing a song. I haven't sung this in a long, 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 long time. But I want to sing a song. I'm be singing from the old iPhone tonight, or this morning. So by the grace of God, just have a little mercy on me. The words are small. I'm going to try to turn it so it's a little bit bigger for me. Amen. Used to have Brother Randy play the guitar for me when I sung this song down in Lima. So I don't know if it's called The Love Song by Third Day. Amen. So I want to sing that this morning. Don't want to hold off too long on the word because I got something to preach this morning, and I just love God's word. Amen. I'd like to start here with this song here. Amen. And I've heard it said about a man who climbed a mountain just to be with the one he loves. How many times has he broken that promise? It has never been done. Well, I've never climbed the highest mountain, but I walked the hill of Calvary. And just to be with you, I'd do anything. There's no price I would not pay, no. And just to be with you, I'd give anything. I would give my life away. And I've heard it said about a man who swam the ocean just to be with the one he loves. How many times has he broken that promise? It can never be done. Well, I'd never swam the deepest ocean, but I walked upon the raging sea. Oh, just to be with you, I'd do anything. There's no price I would not pay, no. And just to be with you, I'd give anything. Well, I would give my life away. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I know that you don't understand the fullness of my love, how I died upon the cross for your sins. And I know that you don't realize how much that I gave you, but I promise I would do it all again. Oh, just to be with you, I've done everything. There's no price I did not pay, no. And just to be with you, I gave everything. Oh, yes, I gave my life away. Yeah, yeah, I gave my life away. Yeah, yeah, I gave my life away.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. I love the Lord, don't you? I love a love song. God made a really good one right there. Amen. Amen. Good to be a Christian this morning. Like I said, we all worshiped up. Do you want to sing another song? Everybody's looking at me. You think you need another song to get you going?
Hurry up. There's no one like Jesus. Amen.
Oh, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. Hallelujah, there is no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. There's no one, there is no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. Him, oh, there is no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. Well, I searched all around, I found no one. I turned all about, I found no one. Yes, I walked all around, I found no one. There's no one, there's no one like Him. There's no one, there is no one, there's no one like Jesus. Oh, there's no one, there's no one like Him. Oh, yes, Lord, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. I like that. Sing again. For there is no one like Jesus. No one, there's no one, there's no one like Him. Him, for there is no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. I searched, well, I searched all around, I found no one. Oh, yes, I turned all about, I found no one. Oh, I walked all around, I found no one. There's no one, there's no one like Him. Well, I searched, oh, I searched all around, I found no, hallelujah, oh, yes, I turned all around, I found no one. Yes, I walked all around, I found no one. There's no one, there's no one like Him. One more time, there's no one, there's no one like Him, Jesus. There's no one like Him. There is no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! I'm not going to ask you want to sing another one because I don't know about you, but I'm about ready to amen it myself. Amen. Praise God. Let's jump into the Word of God this morning. Amen. It's a pleasure to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. I love God. So in my heart, and I believe it's in the children of God's heart this morning, is that you just want to be with Him. Amen. I want to go see Him. I want to dwell with Him. And the Scripture says that they serve Him day and night. I want to be that bride that gets to serve my God day and night. Amen? Well, how do you show that that's your desire? The Scripture says, He hath made us kings and priests. Amen. He said, right now, you're making spiritual sacrifices to your King. Amen? Oh, God, let my life be a sacrifice for You. Amen, Lord Jesus. Praise God. If we had a title for this morning's sermon, I'd like to give it the title. This is a giant subject, and I'm not going to get too far, but I just want to start this maybe by the grace of God and maybe start working in this. I'd like to entitle it Redemption's Claim. Amen. As you know, we have one service this morning. I attend because we don't have two services. I take the first one, our only service. I take it a little bit long, usually around an hour and a half, maybe touch over. But that's what we do to stop the second service, as far as not to go all day with it, which we certainly want to do that, and we love each other, fellowship with one another. But yet, let's just try to give God everything we have this morning. Amen. I'll try to just be free to let the Holy Spirit do it, say what He wants to say. And how many got a worship under the seventh seal? You want to amen the word. Amen. Awesome. Praise God. If we had our Bibles this morning, I'd like us to go to Revelation 5, verse 1. After that, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. Revelation 5:1, it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, and it was sealed with seven seals." Amen. Book of Redemption. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. First Thessalonians 4:16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout." The shout, we know, was what? A message to come to the people through a prophet. Amen. And it says also, "With the voice of the archangel," which the voice of the archangel is the resurrection. Amen. Which is what? Coming to the dead. And then we see that lastly, "With the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Amen. Shout, voice, trump. Amen. Trump is for the elect, those which are alive and remain when the Lord himself shall come. Now notice this, the 17th verse says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." You are closer to this than any other age, any other day previous to this one right here. We're sitting, and just think, if God said a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day, it ain't going to be very long. Amen? Amen. A lot of us, if not all of us, believe that we only have maybe a few short years if God would tarry. And if it goes any longer than that, 10 years went by pretty quick. It's almost starting to feel like we're moving into a day is 1,000 years ourselves. Amen? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God, how we love you this morning, God. And, oh God, Lord, how we just want you to come, Lord. And God, I'm not a preacher, God, and I'm not really much of anything, God. But I pray, if anything, God, the Lamb that opened that book, if he could just come this morning, God, and speak to the hearts of the children, O God, that, Lord, certainly, O God, the mission would be accomplished as far as the purpose of this service, God. I just ask this morning, God, that, Lord, You'd allow me to get out of the way, O God. But, Lord, it also takes a getting out of the way of the church of God as well, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they would be able to free themselves from any hindrance this morning. We want to bind, Lord, because we realize we have this power. But we want to bind every devil in the name of Jesus Christ that's fighting the Word this morning, that's fighting us to make us tired, O God. And, Lord, we just want to give You this time as a sacrifice of love to You, God, to show You we love You, to show You that we're interested in Your Word and what it could bring forth in our lives, God. We want more of You in our lives, God. That's, I believe, our heart's desire as a church this morning. God, fulfill that amongst us, Lord, now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe You'll do it. We say, Amen. You may be seated. Kind of a simple, deep message this morning. Say two unlike things because I don't know which one it's going to be. But yet, like I said, this morning we'll be working with redemption's claim. And if I had maybe a topic this morning, I would like to entitle it Back to Eden. And I believe that by the grace of God, God will open this up to us. Because this is a very simple thought, very easy to stick with when we get through the Scripture. But yet when we start breaking into the seals and those type of things, even Revelations 5, things can kind of become very cloudy very quickly. So I just ask that you be attentive this morning. And just realize that this is not as hard as you'll make it to be. Just try to be simple as possible. And you'll remain all right, because there's a way that God has revealed this to me this morning. And it's very simple. But yet, if you take it anything more than simple, it's going to get really hard, and you'll find it tough to get. Because remember, the seals was the pinnacle of the message of this hour, as far as it's the high spot. It's the highlight of this day. Because in all honesty, when the seals were loosed from the book, we understand that the book was released. Amen? So maybe just jumping ahead just for a minute, we find that now we're seated in a position that's far above any other day outside of Adam's day. Praise God. So when we begin to put this together, it'll start to hopefully make some sense. Because I want to start out this morning, I want to go into Jesus Christ just a little bit as I lay a foundation. And then I believe that we'll be able to make this twist and turn where we need to, because I'm going to let God do that by His grace. And hopefully we won't get too long, but yet we just want to, make something plain to you so that you can move forward into it. Okay? Now this morning, I want to start out by looking at the whole purpose of creation. Because we understand what the purpose of creation is, because God actually started out with that plan of the purpose of creation shadowed in the book of Genesis. As we realize that when God sent forth His female attribute in Adam, that we realize that Adam was lonely, amen? And because Adam was lonely, it was God's purpose that He would bring forth something out of Adam in order to bring Adam to his fullness of satisfaction, okay? And amen, as we get into this, I want us to understand, because this book can be so deep, but if you miss the very purpose of this book, what is God trying to do through this Bible, through this world, through this plan that He's actually allowed to come forth and manifest in what we see as life? Amen? What is His purpose? And we find this starting in Genesis as shadowed. And I just want to say those few things because of where I'm going next. Because I want you to understand, if you look at it, anything greater than what this is, you'll absolutely miss it. Amen? You say, oh, I've been brought here to have power. Or I've been brought here for this or for that. That was not the purpose of God's creation. God's purpose of creation was
Because before he was God, as far as an object of worship, with someone to worship him, he dwelt there alone with his attributes. But because the attributes were inside of him, he what? Needed to express them in order to bring what? To bring fellowship back to himself. Amen. Now, let's get into this very quickly in Ephesians 5:25. I'm going to start here. I might read this pretty quick here. Like I said, I'm just showing you the purpose as a foundation here. In Ephesians 5:25, we love this scripture because we see here that Paul, he makes such a striking statement, and he says, "This is a great mystery." Amen. Notice here in Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word." So what was God's design? We see now Paul moving into marriage, how a married couple needs to act. And he says, but this is actually the design of Christ and his church, amen, that he might sanctify them, right? That he might wash them by the water of the word. Now notice in the 27th verse, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The plan of God, the purpose of God, the mission statement of the existence of these natural laws is literally God to manifest a romance to himself. The purpose why you're here today, a job or this or that. No, your purpose is to meet God. And in meeting God, you what? Become transformed into God. Amen. Remember in Matthew 5:48, it said, "Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is also perfect." We look and say, how can I become perfect? That was the design of God. Can God marry anything less than what he is? He cannot do it. So his whole purpose in all of it was to make you like him. But notice, who did it? Did you do it? Have I done it? Have I called myself? Have I done this? Have I done that? No, none of us have done a thing. It was God literally revealing a love romance to us. And remember, as we said the other day, since he is the author, he is the finisher, he is the in-betweener, he is everything that you need. For what? To bring forth reconciliation between God and man and make mortal man just as immortal as God himself is. Praise God. So notice who does everything. The only thing we find, I didn't have the scripture in here, is right before that reading. He said, "Wives, submit to your husbands in everything." Praise God. I'm going to get quiet on that one. All right now. So notice, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth himself loveth his wife, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh," 29th verse, "but nourisheth it, nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." So God is doing literally everything for you. Oh, husbands, how we should cherish and nourish our wives. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. So now it's transformed right to Christ. We are members of his flesh. Whose flesh? Christ's flesh. We are members of his body. Whose body? Christ's body. We're members of his bones? We are flesh of his flesh and bone of his bones. You see what the revelation is? All that Christ is, he has now poured into the church. What for? is to come into Him. To allow Him to bring forth the Word in you. Praise God. I hope I'm not going too slow. So notice this, 31st verse, this goes right back to the book of Genesis. It says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and his and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." Now look at this. He just got done saying, "Where is flesh? Where is bones?" Then he says, "Oh, and by the way, for this cause shall man leave father and mother, and what? Get a wife, and they two shall be one flesh." This is God's design. This is what God did for you. He come. He left His Father and come. And in doing so, His whole purpose was to be joined and be one with you. Oh, brother, this is... I already got all this figured out, okay? Then why you act the way you do? This is the revelation. This is the purpose. This is Christ is the mystery of God. Revealed. Because where does He reveal Himself? In you. In what form? In a romance. That as you submit, He becomes more plain. You have decreased and He has increased. Praise God. 32nd verse. "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and His church." So what is the whole point? Rehearsing once again. The whole purpose of all of this is not so that you would be so affiliated with the world that you would miss the relationship with God. But you would turn aside. He wouldn't just show you His love, but you would have to show your love to Him. Why did we see the message after the prophet passed pretty much diminished down to a supernatural list, if I could say it, and dead existence? Because the proof was to be on the bride to show that she loves Him. Not that she could follow a sign. But the sign would point to the Word, and they would love the Word. Amen. So how does it die? When you place more emphasis on the prophet than the Word. The prophet will bring you to death if you have what? A full confidence as far as saying that you rely on Him. But when you rely on the message and the message brings you into Christ, it brings life. And life abundantly. Praise God. Now, let's get on. If we could. This is our design today. Is to move you past the reason. The purpose for creation. But to move you into a little deeper of a thought, maybe simpler, if I hope so. But yet, you can understand what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ left everything to Adam in the Garden of Eden. He had the title deed. He had what? He had dominion. He had God. But what? When He forfeited His right by taking of the fruit of the tree. Let me say it right. When He partook of the fruit, joining in the act with Eve. When He did that, what? The title deed went back to the original owner because Satan, he could not have it. It wasn't his to begin with. So this whole time, the title deed that was forfeited has literally resided with God. The book of redemption, all the power within the book has literally stayed with God. And every once in a while, you'd find little highlights where people would bring forth supernatural and do things like that. But yet, the book has not stayed as far as the effectiveness of that book. And the effectiveness of the title deed has not been upon the people and could not be upon them until what? The sacrifice or a kinsman would come and die and what? Bring redemption to the whole story. Now, this is kind of where I want you to go, if we could. I want us to see a few things here. I believe this will be a blessing to you. This is a thought that God had given me. Let's go to Romans 5:17. I want to show you the redemption of Christ. Now, my purpose in showing you this, and I might be kind of teaching a little bit this morning with a couple yells and screams in between, but yet I want you to see this. I pray that you can see this. Okay, Romans 5:17, it says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one," whose death? Or whose sin? "It was Adam's offense, and death has reigned ever since. But notice this, much more they which receive abundance of the grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." So all that was lost, all the offense of sin that was placed upon man because they fell, what? By the gift of what? Righteousness would reign from one. What one? Jesus. Now, this is the problem. You have to look at this and say, is the righteousness, is this my righteousness? Is this my doing? Is this me pleasing God? Because, you know, I can live a perfect life. It has nothing to do with that. Or you change the Scripture. Let's continue. 18th verse. "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation." Okay? So by Adam, condemnation come in there. Now let's look at this simply. "Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." Now let me start bridging this for you. We're talking about Adam, and then we're talking about Christ. When did they exist as far as in their natural badger skins on this earth? What, Adam? He was the start of it. And Christ? He was 2,000 years ago. So now we see Paul looking at Christ and Adam and saying, okay, he killed it, but he brought life back in. And it's only talking about one thing that God did. The death on the cross. One action. That's what I want you to get. One action. When did he do it? Back then. How long? 2,000 years ago. I know this ain't deep. Come on. Let's continue. So notice, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." When were they made righteous? When Christ resurrected and filled them with the Holy Ghost. How long ago was that? 2,000 years ago. What has God had to do in between? There and now. Should we add something to this scripture to bring life to you? What does he have to do? Because what was that? That was redemption. He paid the price for you. So now what? If Paul could say almost 2,000 years ago, say, yep, everything's done. Saying it for what it is. Everything's done 2,000 years ago. Everything's done.
What more's got to be done? And yet, we see that they were able to move on that revelation into the full manifestation of God. Just from realizing that the mercy seat and the sacrifice upon the mercy seat was Christ. And that all that was a shadow of this. And now it had atoned once and for all. So now what? What has God had to do in the last 2,000 years to bring your healing? Nothing. It was done back there. What has God had to do the last 2,000 years to deliver you spiritually from oppression, depression, any type of spiritual work that the devil could place upon you, any type of physical work that the devil could place upon you? What can God do today to release that to you? Is there anyone here that would be willing to say, yeah, there's a few things in my body that don't operate right. I'm the only one. Oh, now we got the humble people start coming in, the scared yet humble. Now, why are we living with pain? Is there anyone that has a problem being spiritually strong? Couple humble ones still. Praise God. Is there anyone that has a problem being spiritually able to overcome? Now, where did your victory come in the natural and the spiritual things? 2,000 years ago. What can be done today to release that upon you? The healing flow. What can be done? Well, Christ has to die for me. He already died for you. What's it coming down to? What's it looking like? It just looks like we don't believe it. Let's continue here. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Disobedience by one. And then it says, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Whose obedience is that? Well, it's about me. See, I'm not obeying God. Remember, how come a prostitute could come in the prayer line and be healed right away? And then two, as your prophet said, two callous old church members would sit there and have prayer and God wouldn't even hear them. So the person caught in sin could have a greater faith in what God did than a callous old church member. Well, I'd ask you, what are you today then? A fresh sinner can have more faith than a calloused religious sinner. Because what's sin? Unbelief. So notice here, it says in the 20th verse, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So the law entered, why? To let the offense overwhelm, to abound, to overwhelm. Why was the law given? To allow your offense to abound. How many say, okay, I keep on doing some offenses? Yes, you keep on doing offenses, but do you realize God let the law come forth and the offense to abound? Why? He has to take the law out of you. The romance is not the law. The romance is grace.
do you mean? You are caught in the law and God brought grace, but grace could only come by what He did for you.
Amen.
So your freedom, your ability to shine forth the excitement of the gospel. You know, I said excitement of the gospel because gospel means good news. Good news should make you happy. So notice, 21, that as sin hath reigned unto death. Sin's going one place. It's death. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Brother Freddie, by Sister Clara. Well, you know, Brother Ty, well, he don't have his bow tie today. He's not at top line yet. He's a little fallen from grace today. God help him. But do you see this? He said, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. When did this happen? It happened 2,000 years ago. Now let me ask you another question. What holds you back from allowing this to reign? It's only one thing. Your revelation. So what did Christ do? Everything. What did Christ unleash to you? Everything. What does Christ want to bring to you today? Righteousness. Where did He give it? 2,000 years ago. Well, no, it was last week. No, it was the week before. Or it's when this preacher did this. Or that preacher. No, it was 2,000 years ago. But the problem is your revelation has not caught the vision. Which puts us where? At a place that the blood of Christ is ineffective. So, Brother Cam, why in the world are you going this way? Because I want to show you there is nothing that God can do for you now because He's already done it. Everything that you want, everything you desire, you want to see God do something, it's already done. It's all coming down to faith. Do you want to believe it? Well, what would make you believe it? If you believed your husband, if you believed what he did, let me say it like this. If it was a personal revelation of the romance that God has stirred up in you, because if you see what He's done, if you believe what He's done, it unleashes all the redemptive promises to you. Why could the first church age be as effective as it was? It had faith. It was a lion anointing. And then notice we watch what? Things started jumping down. Now I'm not going to skip too much here because I want you to see this here. Ephesians 2:13. I want to lay this in there nice and thick before I move on. Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus ye who were sometimes far off. When was this? 2,000 years ago. When they were far off? Are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you feel far off?
You feel like God ain't hearing your prayer? I think that's the reasoning of the hour. I know it comes to me a lot of times. God don't hear your prayer. God ain't hearing you anyway. And the devil, he's constantly trying to blast the very thing that gives you life. Oh, I'm the bride. And we all know we fight that thing left and right. At least the faith of it. Because if you know who you are, then why can't God do it? Now, notice, faith was at the foundation of the stature of the perfect man. All that faith would bring to you was the foundation. What it was showing, that something moved in you that showed you that you were actually free. And if you believed it, everything that it was would become applicable to you or accessible. Amen. God's going to do something today. Why? Well, because He's God. He wants to do something today. What brings God to you? When you have a revelation of the atonement, why do you think your prophet said, pray for revelation more than anything else? The issue was revelation. The issue was believing. You can't say it like Peter or John, who's seen Him hang on the cross, seen Him resurrect. You're stuck at the same place that Paul was. But Paul said, I was as one born out of due season. Why? Because he personally met the pillar of fire. So what? You have to meet the pillar of fire. Your prophet said what? He said that you would have to. Every Christian should have a backside of the desert experience. Look at what a backside of the desert experience did for Moses. He was one man and God took him, told him to go take over a whole nation. Brother David, go take over Iran. Go shut them down, brother. Don't worry, I'll be with you. We're afraid to go up to Michigan. But you see what the backside of the desert draws you? What is the backside of the desert? Well, it's a burning bush. No, you have to see deeper than that. The backside of the desert was a direct relation showing communion between God and man. It was to Moses a proof that his God was real. That his God talked to him. That when God told him something, he could move upon the basis of what God said. What is the backside of the desert? It releases you into a faith that what the Word says, you can do it. Now, so you were afar off, but what has made you nigh? The blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, if I could just get one drop of blood. The blood was spilled to bring you the token. The life of the blood. You have greater than just a drop. You have the very life of that blood in you. What's blood? It's just chemistry. You need the nature of that blood. Like when Abel was slain, his blood cried out to God. The righteous blood of Abel cried out. So what? You receiving the token
makes the life of the blood cry out of you. The life, it makes Christ cry forth from you. I don't want us to miss this. Notice 14th verse, Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. Made both one. What is his link of peace when he makes both one? Both? Now notice this. What is the word half? It's a very complicated King James word, and I would just rather read an NIV or the Message Bible. No. That is a past word. It shows that what? He already did it. He is our peace. When? Oh, I hope he can become my peace now. He's already done it. Because his whole purpose, when he died and brought forth redemption in the form of the Holy Ghost on man, what? It broke down the middle partition separating God and man. And it did what? It united God and man together. When? Way back there. So what has God had to do in between? Man, Jesus, you got to die for me again. That's all there is to it. It says, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity. The enmity. Enmity means the hatred. Or what? In his flesh, he abolished your flesh. You get that? He became you so you could become him. And it's all in him. Well, did Jesus exist or did he not? That's the big argument today. Is there a creator? Is there not? But church, you have to see it. You have moved past that revelation. You have moved to the person himself. Notice, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. What did he do in his flesh? He abolished all the law to you. Oh, if I could just be free today, God. If I could just see it today, God. He's already done it. You need a revelation of the Word. Let's continue. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. He abolished all the commandments, ordinances, to make in himself of twain, one new man. Oh, I'm a new creation. How are you a new creation? For it's not I that live, but Christ that lives within me. What is the proof that God and man have become one? That it looks like Sister Bob. You know her natural characteristics. Sister Cindy, her natural characteristics. Brother Bart, his natural characteristics. No! The proof that two separated have become twain can only be seen in the evidence of the residence of Jesus Christ in you. You say, oh, I better have some faith. Do I got the Holy Ghost or do I not? Remember, God wants to give it to you more than you want to get it. Let me say it like this. A lot of people say, well, I had it, or I have it, but you know, I just don't kind of live the way it's supposed to live. But yet it was the purpose of God that it lives all the way.
So what is it? It's the devil fighting your revelation. He fights your revelation so you can't express the fullness of God. Because the only thing that will go in a rapture is God. Praise God. Let's continue. 16th verse. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross. Let me read again. And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body, whose body? His cross, or His body, by the cross, which is what Jesus did, having slain the enmity thereby. So where is the separation between you and God? Where is it? This scripture right here says that God slain it. The separation between you and God. The only thing that makes that live is you believing a devil's lie. It's dead. God killed it. You say, me and God, we're just standing on tight grounds right now, me and God. No, you're allowing the devil to tell you that when Jesus already killed the enemy. Amen. You're just as close to God today as you want to be. Whether you feel it, whether you hear it, the Word says that you and Him. Once twain are now made one. You know what the devil's lie is? Because here's the thing. You want God just to knock you off a horse like He did to Paul and show me a pillar of fire. There I am. But more Word has been revealed in this day. The third pole is not the pillar of fire knocking you off the horse. The third pole is the Word. So it's the Word that opens your mind. You're talking yoga. The Word opens your mind because it says something and you believe it. And the problem is we're just not consistent enough. You don't think God's going to try your faith to believe that He'll talk to you? You don't think that God is going to try your faith that you'll be healed of a sickness? God did in the prophet's day where the supernatural is rampant. How much more will He do it today, church? He wants to see if you believe it. Well, I ask you today, how many of you are like this with Jesus Christ? You know what the problem is? That's good, sis. Real good. She's paying attention real good here. You see, when I say how many of you are like this with Jesus, we automatically says, well, I'm not praying very good. I'm not studying very good. Yep, I'm not very faithful to God all the time. You know, sometimes I don't make it to church, or I don't do this or don't do that, da-da-da-da-da-da. But you know, I do have this issue that I'm having a hard time overcoming. So tell me, your revelation, what? It slays the revelation of God. Because the revelation of God is spoken quite simple right there. All you have to do, I mean, it's as simple as this. We say, well, maybe I got it, maybe I don't. Sometimes I think I got it, sometimes I think I don't. Do you realize that all you have to do is release a persistence to believe it? And it will identify itself for who it is. You see what I'm saying? That's why they say, well, if you don't know if you have the Holy Ghost, let's pray for it and then believe you have it. Or if you want the Holy Ghost, just believe you have it. By how? By believing that you are baptized, repenting.
Right? You say, oh, do I have the Holy Ghost today? I ask you, have you repented and been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? What is that? That is the identification that the Holy Ghost is going to take residence in you. What shows you have it? The persistence to believe that. Well, I don't feel like a Holy Ghost, but the Word says I have it. Amen. I don't hear God's voice, but the Word says I have it. It's coming down to the place that you have to show that you believe you have it. See, we walk around, what? Throwing ourselves away from the identification of the Holy Ghost because we don't pray perfect. Well, wait a minute. What makes the commandments live in you? What makes the commandments live in you? Discipline? There's going to be a lot of people with more discipline than you that go to hell. So what proves that you have it or you got the goods? When you show by your revelation who you are. Well, I feel separated from God right now. Okay? We'll get right with God. Go on. Right? Okay. I just prayed. I don't feel any better. I guess I don't have it. No. You're just showing right there that you don't believe the Word of God. When the identification of the third pole is believing the Word of God. Do you think that God is going to go and slap you over the side of the head and you're going to start speaking things into existence? Or God is going to go and you're going to say, oh, I'm just going to time to go preach to the lost. No, because the third pole has to take residence in you. What is the third pole? The third pole is the person of Christ living His mission from you. Oh, this is so simple. But I want to say this to you. There is not one thing, one more thing that God can do for you. He's already accomplished all of it in dying on the cross for you. 2,000 years ago. Well, why has it took 2,000 years? Well, you just missed the scripture we were reading. His whole purpose was to bring forth a body. And what? So the first stage, he had part of the body. Second stage, body. Third, body. Body, 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 body. Until he gets to the top. Yes, you're the top. So notice here, if we could say this in the 16th verse, and it says, remember, it said that he wanted to make you a new man, so making peace. Now notice, and that he might, 16th verse, might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enemy thereof, and came and preached peace to you who are afar off, and to them that were nigh. Notice, for through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. So what? His whole purpose was to reconcile you. And how did He do that? By His body on the cross. Which, those two, you have absolutely nothing to do with. If you understand what I'm saying. How many of you, I know your prophet said that you were in Him when He died. But how many of you remember that? How many of you could say, well, I did that. You didn't do it. But He gave you credit for it. How is the credit expressed? The credit is expressed in Him finding a home in you. Which lets you do whatever you want to do. No! It moves your will aside and places what? The Father's will at the head of your life. Meaning what? No longer does it have anything to do with you. Remember, like I just said a week ago, week and a half, however long it was, it's been a while since I've been here, that literally it was Christ that did everything for you. Okay? And because He did that, it completely alienates your flesh from the work of God. Why? Because it puts the overcomer of the flesh in you. Who is the fulfillment of the law? Brother Cam Smith is the fulfillment of law. No! It said Christ was the fulfillment of the law. Okay. Let's continue. I'm going to skip that. Now, I want you to see this. Matthew 28:18. It said, I want to say this very quickly. What did Christ do? As far as what does Christ in this day or the last 2,000 years, what does He have to do for Himself? Let's read it. Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. What else does Christ have to do to elevate Himself? He has all power. When? Back then. What does He have to do? I'm saying all this so you can understand that all Christ has done has already been done back there. And now everything that He does is for you. The move has went from what He could do in redemption's work to the price being paid. And now, what? In Him moving on you to bring forth Himself. You realize that is the whole work of the last 2,000 years. Christ has literally done nothing as far as to do more for your salvation. He already died for it. He already resurrected for it. He already gave you a Holy Ghost. What more can you do? Ephesians 1:20 says, which he wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Christ. Right hand, heavenly places. Pretty good. Far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. So wait a minute. Does God have to do anything now to make it greater over there? It said He's far above it in every aspect right now and in the world to come. So He can't be anything more than He was. He's all right there of He's ever going to be. Which is everything to you. Well, I'm having problems with my principles. He's above every principle. I'm having trouble with power. He's above every power. How can you go higher than that to seek something? He has already become it. Well, I need some might. He's above every might. I need dominion. Ooh. Dominion. He's above every dominion. Oh, if I only had a name that I could cry out to. Above every name? So what does that mean? You literally have a stacked deck to release God. He has made it so easy. There's no new thing that you have to look forward to. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to look for a special revelation or this or that. It's all already been done. What's the issue? The issue is half the people have given up and have a wrong revelation. Don't even believe that they need to manifest God. Or they have an idea of the manifestation of God. It's an intellectual form, or it's a crazy wacko one. Or yet, in all honesty, it's just something that completely goes against what God is. It lays dormant. The faith lays dormant. You know what this church is? A church where the faith has what? Laid dormant. What releases your faith? When you believe it. That's too easy. That's too easy. There's something I got to do. There's something I got to do better than. I know there's more than I can get. No! The problem is you don't believe what's already been done, because what He has done takes you out of the picture. Well, I better pray better. You know, you better just make a prayer and say, God, I need more of You in my life. Because if you have the Holy Ghost there strong enough, you're going to pray. Amen. Your cry to God doesn't need to be, oh God, well, if I could just do this better. No, the problem is your love. You need to yield your love of the world. Repent of it. And give it to God. If it don't work today, do it tomorrow. If it don't work tomorrow, keep on doing it until the evidence finds itself in you. Your persistence is not moving towards a discipline. The people in the message are teaching you that. It is actually going right back to you crying out in desperation for love. Well, it's something I have to do. The only thing you got to do is quit loving the world and love God. Quit loving your own self and what you want to do and all these other things, and just start loving God. Well, that's easier said than done. I say amen. Because that's the bride's call. The world can't move into that. The foolish virgin cannot move into that. The make-believer cannot move into that. Which is why this is so difficult. Because half the people in this message are looking for some great thing, some great revelation to come forth. The other half say, well, everything's already been done. And you sit looking like a fanatic because you're trying just to let Jesus live. And they say, well, everything's already been fulfilled through the prophet. Not one more thing will be done. Huh? Yeah, I got quotes for that too. Not today. I got time. So notice Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under His feet. When? God, you're going to have to do something. I wish You could put all things under feet. God says, I hear Him. I'm going to go put all things under my feet for Him. God doesn't have to do that. Why does He have to do it? He already did it. Isn't that a problem? How many say, God, I want You to put something under my feet? Here I am. Oh, okay, we got it. Oh, come on. Come on. We're bringing it up. Bring it up. Come on. Praise God. It's my deacon. I need something like this, brother. Bow tie. See, God cannot do more for you than what He's already done. You just have to believe it. Oh, God, it must just be an emotion that I show forth. Well, yes. Manufacturing emotion can bring God down. But we don't want to manifest the emotion without the love being there. Or the sacrifice being there. Because not all the time do you love God like you're supposed to. That's when you got to make a sacrifice. Because what's inside you says, I want to show God I love Him. I want to treat God like I love Him. I don't care if I have to jump. I don't care if I have to shout or run around the church. I want to show God I love Him. I don't feel like loving God, but He deserves it. Why does He deserve it? Because He's done everything for you. He's already done it. Oh God, can you please come and put things under my feet? He's already done it. Notice, hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. All things are under my feet. Ooh. But He's the head of the church. Do you realize what that is? Notice He doesn't say the head of the body. But He says the head of the church. Which, in all honesty, is almost the same thing. But the word church there is what? It's a gathering of people. Now, I want us to think about this. So that means anywhere that there's a church, or even the whole bride church of God, if you want to say it that way, He, right there, has already taken everything. He's the head of it. So what's the problem? When we allow ourselves in our own thoughts, remember the spirit of Nicolaitan, Balaam, Jezebel? When we allow organization to move over the spirit of Christ. But most of us, we're not even at a place that we really fully need to worry about that. Because we need to really worry about just letting God be God. Let Him finish His story. His story is, can I bring this to a really simple analogy? What this is really coming down to is God coming up, just don't think it's crazy, coming to Brother Frey and saying, will you marry me? Oh, he said, I do. Do you hear that? But in turn, Freddie says, amen. And he says, I got to go make some money. And I got to go buy a ring too. And God comes back around. And He says, Freddie, will you marry me? And Freddie turns around. And he gets down on his one knee. Will you marry me? Look what I've done for you. Your problem? Amen. Very simple. Kind of weird, huh? But do you realize when you try to give something to God without God manifesting that on you, amen, you're living the exact opposite. You're trying to be the head. Amen. When you try to do something for God, when God's already done everything. Now here's what I'm not trying to do. I'm not trying to pull you from serving God. Because we know faith without works is dead. But the problem is, we have to realize that our works are only a proof that God is there. Let me say it like this. When we bring our righteousness back down to the fact that we can do something for God, you're showing that you're trying to approach God to ask Him to marry you. When all God in His design wants you to do is to just listen to what He tells you to do. Because can the Spirit of God bring forth something without works? Well, no. Because when the Spirit of God is there, it's there to operate. Amen. It's there to make you do things. Amen. So how many of us are proposing to God? So notice 23rd verse, Ephesians 1:23, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Really? So Christ is the head of the church, all things of the church. And it's His body, the fullness of Him. Where's the fullness of Christ? Well, only if we could live closer to God. It's not what this says. It says it's to the church. It's not bringing it down to a law. Like I said, you want to pray more? Try to love God more. Because what? Faith comes by hearing of the Word. put yourself in a position to love God. Because what does Satan do? He tries to make you focus on a phone. Focus on a person. Focus on this and focus on that. When God wants all the focus. Now, can we be on the same page that God, those who are going to make a rapture, are so focused on God that they hate mother and father compared to what they want to do for God? Pretty simple, huh? But He's the fullness right here. The fullness of God is right here. Well, I don't see it. I know that's the problem. You don't see it. You got to move past that flesh bound that's holding you back. Right? Well, God, when will it be? Well, it must be. I'm waiting for a third pole. I'm waiting for a rain. I'm waiting for something. No, He's already done it. He's already said He filled it. He's already slain the flesh. See how funny it is? God said He's slain the flesh, and then He gives you a flesh that's alive. But He said it was already dead. So wait, God says it's dead, but you see that it's alive. So what's the problem? You don't believe it like God believes it. Right? You don't believe it like God does. Okay. I'm going to move on just a little bit. Hebrews 7:25. So what has God been doing for the last 2,000 years? Remember, He's already died for you. He's already filled it all. He's already slain the enemy. He's done everything. Everything's under His feet. He's got above all principality, power, everything else, might, you name it. He's done everything. So what has been His purpose for the last 2,000 years? Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him who come unto God. Okay, I believe it. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. So what's God been doing? He's ever living to make intercession. To intercede means to pass through, to reconcile between two parties. So everything that God has been doing for the last 2,000 years has to do with His bride and the seed of God. And what is He doing between the bride and God? He's intercessing. Now, He stopped after the first church age, if you see what I mean. Thank you for not amening. It says that He ever liveth to intercede for the saints. That means the constant thing He's doing is standing between you and God to make you righteous. So what is He actually doing, if we can just bring it right back down to the theme? He's actually standing right between you and God. He drew you to God. He moved you to give your heart to God. He moved you to follow the Word to get the Holy Ghost, which we're still trying to figure out if we got it or not. And now, the only thing He's doing is what? He's standing right between you and God. Your every request, He's a high priest. Your every failure, He's an intercessor. So you found love. You found Christ. And now, everything that you do, He's standing right between you and God. It doesn't matter if you sin today. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to walk out of here and I'm going to do something stupid eventually. It's going to happen. But when God looks at me, He doesn't see anything stupid. Why? Because God cannot see me. Because there's something standing between me and Him. It's His Word. I have done nothing but read you the Scriptures. The only thing He's been doing since He became everything and everything is stand right between you and God. Do you realize? You see, the problem is we try to make God some far off thing. And the whole time He's standing between you and God. Right now, you don't feel God. He's there. You don't see God. He's there. He's constantly. You sin. He's there. You say, well, the dove took its flight. Well, yeah. But remember, your prophet said, he said there's that check there. As soon as you do something wrong, it moves you to make it right. What is that? It's the intercessor working on you. Why? To make sure that nothing, that God can't see you. He stands there and says, you screwed up. Say you're sorry. Hurry up. I don't want God to see you. And all He wants you to do is say, God, forgive me. I did it again. And then you say, oh, I guess I got here we go with the 2-week down period. You don't have a revelation of what God just did in your life. You realize that when you say, God, I'm sorry, and then you say, oh, well, here come the next 2 weeks. I always go through this. I hate this. You are literally believing something that is so fictitious that God can't even see it. You know why I say fictitious? Because it's imaginary. It's not even real because God can't even see it. How can it be real if God can't see it? Well, no, Satan stands there accusing you. So Satan stands there accusing you of something that that God can't even see. Notice it calls him the accuser of the brother. But does it call him the evidence or the foe of the brethren? Because the only place where the accuser can be effective is when the truth is made known and brings damnation or condemnation to the believer. But Satan is never called that. He is only called an accuser. See how simple it is? Yep. I just repented. I'm free. Oh, God. Oh, there's a little headache. In the name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that how it's supposed to work? Right? Remember your prophet lied to the IRS? He said, tell him outside. He ran outside. What? And then he went forth to pray for someone. And God said, you're condemned. Because he had a sin between him and God. He knew it was wrong when he did it. The Holy Ghost told him it was wrong. And there he stood right between God. But he didn't allow the in-between to make him invisible, the Clorox of the blood of Jesus Christ, to stand between him and God. And then when it come time for God to manifest the supernatural, amen, what? God come to him again. Do you realize this? God wanted him to manifest himself so much that God will even play a broken record to make sure that you and God are clean. You realize that? That was a prophet with an ineffective ministry. But God didn't want his ministry to be ineffective. So he kept on working on him. Yep, got to make that right. So, he had to go call him. Sorry, I lied to you. I ran out of the house. I know that's really a white lie, isn't it? Sounds like a white lie. Still lie. And then as soon as he did that, the supernatural came back. Praise him. Praise him. 26 verse 7, 26. I might have to quit. I ain't going to get to the old breaking of the seals probably today, unless you want me to preach a long time. It says, for such an high priest became us. Became us? Became us? It's right in the Word everywhere you look, church. He became you. Who is holy? I'm holy. How am I holy? Because I have a high priest who became me. Continuing. Harmless. That's me. Undefiled. Oh, that's me. Separate from sinners. Yep. That's me. And made higher than the heavens. Well, that's God. He became you. You become him. Higher than the heavens. Oh, this is tough. The only thing that makes it tough is you don't believe it. It's all right in the Word. You see why we come into the house? I searched all around. I found no one. But you found someone. We say, we do the song, I searched all. You're still searching. I searched, I found no one. But I found him now. There's no one like Jesus. I walked all around. I turned all around. But I have found one now. I found Jesus. I found that he become me so I could become him. Notice Hebrews 7:27, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer sacrifice. Talking about our high priest, Jesus Christ. He doesn't need every day to make a sacrifice. Yeah, it was done way back there. To offer up sacrifice. First, for his own sins. Yep, he was sinless. Well, Jesus just become a sinner for me today. Well, yeah, but he did that way back there. He can't become a sinner for you again. It's understand, he don't have to die on the cross for you again. He's already done it. Continuing. First, for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself. The Old Testament high priest, what? He'd have to what? Sacrifice. He'd have to cleanse himself just so he could go into the presence of God. Then he'd have to what? Put the blood upon the mercy seat once a year. Right? Then the people were cleansed. But this high priest, he died one time. He lived sinless. So he was perfect. And then in Gethsemane, he died to his own will. So what? He could be sin for you. Done. It's done. Boy, I should really be happy. Boy, I really can do the great works. Well, I can't because I'm a sinner. Boy, you really, this has been going on for an hour now. This is how simple it is. This is the rapture or not the rapture. Well, there's got to be some deep mystery for me. I know this is a deep mystery because there ain't nobody figuring it out. Right? And what leaves you condemned when Christ already was condemned for you? What leaves guilt in you when Christ already become guilt for you? I think we'll hang her up. I'm getting ready to go into the seals, but I think I'll hang her up. Because I want you to see, church, there is nothing that needs to be done again. There's nothing. Nothing. The only thing that we're waiting on is the last soul. There's only one thing we're waiting on. The last soul. Like I said, we won't be able to get into it right now. I got a bunch of quotes. But church, you'll find at the end of the day that God has sat there and made intercessions for until this day. Here's what I want you to get as we're getting ready to close. And I've said this over and over again preaching to church ages. The scripture says that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And remember the whole purpose of Christ. When he died and revealed his Holy Spirit to his people, he filled them. But what it brought them to was a place that the Word could be alive to them. Okay? And that happened in the Lion Age. The Word was fully made alive. Well, what happened in those first four church ages? Satan brought the spirit of organization in, brought in horse riders, and what? The whole purpose of Satan was not just to kill the people, but to basically diminish the Word from their lives. We know where we're at here, the dark church age. The purpose? It was an age where there was no Word. Almost no Word at all. Because what? Satan knew if he could get the Bible into a Latin state, no one could read it. Then the people would just have to be going on an anointing or going on some sort of a drawing from God. They would not have a word that could bring forth. So what did God have to do? He anointed Catholics to stand against the Catholic Church who knew the Word and then translated it so the Word could be brought back to the people. I'm trying to show you the problem. The problem is, now that the Word, like I said, has been done away with into the fourth church age, then justification in Luther, sanctification in Wesley. What was that? What was it? Really, what was it? It was more revelation of the Word. Right. Baptism of the Holy Ghost, revelation of the Word. Just a higher revelation than the revelation before it. So then what? Then come needs for God to send a revealer of the Word, a prophet. Because the Word could only come to the prophets. Remember how Brother Branham said it? He said all these other ages have probed at it. They've hit pieces here and there, but they've never come to the truth. So God would send a prophet. And the prophet would what? He would bring forth the entirety of the Word. I just kind of jump right into the next subject. I can try to pull out. Because here's what I want to tell you. The only thing that separates you from God has been a lack of revelation of the Word. What what separated Luther from making a rapture? The revelation of the Word. Right? Like I just told you a couple weeks ago, this is what blows my mind more than anything. Is that God could have almost basically the third age, fourth age, fifth age, sixth age, and even into the seventh age, worshiping a Trinity, which now has light has touched in such a way that we realize that it is actually the mark of apostasy. It's satanic. So God could allow all these church ages in ignorance to worship Satan in a Trinity. And yet, His blood was so powerful that it could even stand between false worship to reconcile between God and man. Do you realize that? Do you realize how amazing that is? They were worshiping the devil. And the blood of Jesus Christ is so great, is so powerful, that God could allow the ignorance of that false doctrine to be their worship, and God could still stand between it and say, clean. Why is that so special to me? Church, don't you get it? If God could stand between that and say clean, how much could He do in this age with the true revelation, the true opening of the seals, the true what? Knowledge of who God is. And yet we say, God, if I could only be free. God, if I could only be happy. God, if I could just be a better Christian. And here, you don't have an ounce of ignorance in your life compared to what they had. And where grace could abound greatly, we try to make God's grace something that isn't good enough for what we have. Is there anyone here that believes the Trinity? Anybody here that believes in eternal hell? Anybody here that you want to go down the list? Is there anyone here that doesn't believe in predestination? And you say, yeah, God, His blood's strong enough to cover all that. But just can't reveal to me I got the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ's baptism. They didn't have that. They were baptized in the name of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Yep. And the blood of Jesus Christ could stand right between there. Don't worry. I'm going to see John Wesley. We're going to see Martin Luther, church. And they're going to come up and say, wow. How did you do it? And you're saying, how'd I do what? God revealed everything to me. You know what you're going to say? You're saying the same God that could stand between your ignorance and God was the same God that could stand between mine and His. And me and God, right? There was no middle partition. I didn't need to pray to a saint. I didn't need anything except just for a God to reconcile me and Him. Let's stand. Got a lot of quotes. Be another hour. Let's start right here and see how simple this can be. What else can God do for you, church? You already believe the right word. And you know what? the misconceptions within the message where people are fighting and bickering and stuff like that, those things are so minuscule compared to what God had to give grace to before. That's like nothing for God at all. God, if I could just get the Holy Ghost here, if I could just worship free, what's holding you back? Where sin did abound, grace come more abundantly. That's all it took, church, was you to accept Him and to believe Him. I've been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe this word. I'm going to stay with this word no matter what. Not one thing will get me to move from it. Can't you see why I'm so happy? Well, I hope I can make the rapture. He's already made it for me. We'll try to finish this later. I love this type of stuff. Because it's so hard for me to look beyond me. And what I do and how I waste my time and how I do this wrong and that wrong and this wrong. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. But when it comes down to the blood of Jesus Christ, He didn't ask for me to do anything. Except for accept it. And to listen to it. How many say this morning, this afternoon, God, I want to listen to You. How many be willing to say, God, I have found myself coming under this word. I have seen this word today, God. And I realize that there's nothing between me and You right now, God. There's nothing there. The only thing that stands there is me listening to Satan tell me that I don't belong. And this is my problem. My problem isn't that I'm not perfect in works. My problem is I keep on alienating myself from You, which eliminates works from me. But I just need to listen to You. I just want to love You more, God. God, reveal this word to me, God. It's not what I do, but it's what Christ already did for me. Reveal it to me today, God. You want to believe that today? Let's just pray. Praise the Lord. Just tell Him what you really feel. Our most beloved Lord Jesus Christ, God. Lord, we see that we're standing, oh God, right at the end times, oh God. And Lord, very soon, Lord, we'll be caught up, Lord. We'll be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, Lord. And there won't be anyone there, God, that sees that they're a sinner, God, that sees themselves not as righteous. And God, not that they don't sin in their flesh, but just that they don't believe the atonement. They don't believe what You did and how powerful that it was. God, we stand today, God, in fault for many ways, God. We know, God, that saints on the other age will say, how did we do it, God? And we understand why, because the battle of the mind is raging today, God. And Satan, the accuser, is constantly coming against us, trying to show us what we're not. But God, today the Word has been preached to us. And God, we want to, Lord, believe this Word. We want to believe, God, that You are our High Priest, Lord, that You are standing in the gap, that You are the intercessor. You are this type of God. Lord, there's nothing that can hinder grace in our lives outside of our own rejection to receive it. God, I just pray it today, oh God, that Lord, You would tear and wreak havoc upon all the damage that Satan has done. And God, may this live so greatly in the children of God that we can watch redemption's promises in our lives. Lord, we have need of Thee, Lord. We have need
that you would show yourself higher to us. And God, allow us, oh God, not to be so moved by Satan's attempts. Lord, he's been very successful in what he's done. But God, we understand that that time's coming to a close, even as we speak right now. And Lord, we can say that because we believe this word. We're going to apply this token, this word, God. Because the token says that the price is paid. God, thank you for my freedom today. And Lord, a lot of times we're bound by sin, God. I pray right now, Lord, there's so many times, Lord, that I haven't done what's right, Lord. And even times, Lord, where I haven't repented, oh God, maybe things I forgot about years ago. And Lord, a lot of those major things you've brought back, Lord, and I've done my best to make it right. But God, I just ask you right now, for me, oh God, and even as the church is standing there right now, Lord, free us from all the things we've done wrong and haven't made right, Lord. Your blood is that great. Your blood is that strong, Lord. It is more than able to do it. I claim that blood right now. A blood that's greater than I. A blood that's stronger than I am. A blood that has a greater revelation than what I have. Lord, pour that blood, that nature, that spirit of the life of the blood upon your church today, God. And let us feel the peace that you were supposed to, that you, oh God, that you did bring forth upon us, God. You said, peace, bride. And we believe it. God, I just ask, Lord, that even now, Lord, you would take away, Lord, those sins and that unbelief that holds us back from being you, Lord. Lord, I release it now. I ask you to forgive me. I believe that blood. Thank you for giving me the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for freeing me. Lord, help me to love you more. Let me fight, God. You have to fight, Lord. I understand you said that we have to fight to love you, Lord. Lord, help us, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Very quickly, in Romans 8:33, it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. You don't justify. It's God. Notice, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather. There's no one that condemneth. But Christ died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who's condemning you? Who's made you guilty? Who's made you accountable for sin? Nobody. I've got an intercessor. I've been atoned for. Do you believe it? You just prayed the prayer of faith. You're free today. You're free to leave the life that you've been living. I believe it. Sing that song again. Thank God I am free. For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. Oh, my heart was so heavy, in sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. Oh, what an wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his saving power. Oh, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Oh, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out
He could bring me out, show me the way. If you ever need to pray, be happy to pray. He says, oh, like a bird out of prison, oh, that's taken its flight. Like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Like a poor wretched beggar, hallelujah, that's found fortune and fame. Oh, I found it, Lord. Oh, I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His holy name. Hallelujah, thank God.
World of sin, and I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. Like a bird out of prison that has taken its flight. Like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Like a poor wretched beggar found fortune and been born again, and hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out of His holy name. One more time, thank God I'm free. Thank God I am free. This world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again.
Amen. How many are thankful for the word today? Amen. How many feel free? Amen. Sing that song, He's everything to me.
He's everything to me. He's everything. Everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister and my brother. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. Of righteousness.